this episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're joined by Joseph Williams, a UC veteran and a Microsoft expert. So stay tuned for more information, and you're going to learn about the stylophone.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to episode 13 of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
And I'm Graham Potter.
First off, we'd like to say Happy New Year.
Yeah, I hope you had a 2018. I hope you had a great
holiday
start. Yeah,
it's a great
start
to
the new year.
And you're perhaps recovering from your New Year's party.
Not too much excess, so yeah. Whatever you're saying.
I can tell you, I had an unbelievable New Year's Eve.
You're still wearing the party hat, David.
I mean, it was just incredible.
You've still got some of the kind of stuff trailing around behind you, garland and what have you.
Garlic.
Are you going to be continuing to wear that throughout the rest of the year? Are you wearing that for a bet, or is that just for...
I wear this every day, yeah.
Okay,
this is my... it's like a uniform.
Okay, cool.
No, but I had an incredible New Year's party. I went to nowhere. I probably stayed home. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't do anything.
No, so. I have two small children. So I know you do.
I saw your children.
Yes,
I saw your children recently.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're alive.
They are indeed. They know who I am as well. Well,
yeah.
at least the little guy does.
Exactly. So, so today we're going to be joined by Joseph Williams, who is a fascinating guy. Probably should be called Sir Joseph Williams. It's a fantastic name. I think it's sort of
well,
like
he's been a Microsoft for quite
Microsoft
a while.
And he's a consultant, an analyst, and lives out of the Seattle area and parties with Bill Gates. I mean, he's an incredible dude.
Part of the UC strategies.
We're very friendly with those folks.
Cool,
those
awesome.
Are friends of our pod.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So we're going to have a good chat about sort of what was 2017 and what we're looking forward to in 2018. We're going to have a little focus on blockchain, just because I think that's sort of a buzzword that a lot of people know what the word is, but don't actually know what blockchain is.
You've lost me on that one already, David.
I feel like this episode's going to be a lot of you looking with like a glazed look.
Yeah, I'm
going to
catching up with some of this stuff. You're just trying to impress. I know you.
Yeah,
young,
I just like to throw around words
yeah,
like blockchain.
Okay. All right.
Chains of blocks.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward
to
it.
So, no, it should be a good discussion.
It's really, if you think about when we started this series originally, it was really about bringing thought leaders and analysts and what have you, and for our listeners, you know, the ability to kind of learn a bit about some of this stuff, myself included, you know. I mean, incredible. So.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been 2017 was a fascinating year in the UCaaS industry. And we saw, from the very first...
One or two mergers and acquisitions.
But lots of new technology.
Yeah.
And you saw sort of the rise of the CPaaS has been a huge part of 2017 and obviously will be in 2018. Internet of Things, AI, blockchain, I mean, bots. I mean, it's just been a really, really transitional year for UCaaS. And I think it's going to continue into 2018. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. I mean, it's like everyone's going to hold on and catch up. The industry's
wild
moving
ride.
So fast. And I think we're going to talk about with Joseph, but I think, you know, you're seeing sort of the unification of applications being the way people communicate, right? I mean, as opposed to just one stream of communication, it's wherever you are, whoever you're communicating with is how do you best reach that individual? And I think that's sort of what 2017 proved out to be. I mean, you're just communicating over so many different applications, but there's not really a great way to put all those things together except for your cell phone, right? I mean, that your little computer in your pocket is the only way to do
that's something that you've become so reliant on. Mine's been very problematic over the last few months.
Maybe you should switch to an iPhone.
I'm not going there. I'm an Android man through and through, but you know, I had a really, really intermittent problem and got to experience a lot of deep technical support people working on issues, and the network people, and then finally going to the store and swapping the device out.
Going to the store
is a bad news.
Going to the store,
yeah.
I don't care if it doesn't matter which provider you have. Going to the store is.
But isn't it a weird feeling when you walk away from the store and you leave them your cell phone and they're copying all the information across? And you walk away and I go for dinner with my wife and it's like
you feel like you're naked.
Felt kind of weird, and you know, it's like we become so attached to these damn things. You've got everything in there, so it was just scary even for an old guy like me. So
I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2018, because I really do think that the industry is going to keep moving so fast and it's going to be a challenge for companies to keep up. I mean, especially with the expansion overseas. I mean, you're going to see more and more companies diving into EMEA and Asia Pac. I think is going to be a next big area for a lot of these UCaaS companies. The technology is just rapidly developing, as we've had on this conference. We've talked about 5G. We've talked about we're going to talk about blockchain.
WebRTC.
These technologies are still.
So really interested to hear what Joseph's got to say and what his thoughts are.
And the thing with blockchain too is that there's no leader in it right now. No one stepped up and said, we're going to be the blockchain company. There's in different verticals, you've got sort of big companies here and there, but there's no industry leader right now. So it's in the beginning.
Wild,
wild west out there for that space. It's a time to bring Joseph on. Is he calling in? I think he's calling now, live from Seattle.
Let's go.
So next up, we're going to have Joseph Williams, who UC analyst and a Microsoft dude. So
see you on the other side.
Well, we are now joined by Joseph Williams, who is an analyst and consultant in the UC industry with specialties in the channel and in the cloud UCaaS area. Joseph was formerly the managing director in Microsoft's hosting service providers and pretty much been a Microsoft lifer. Is that right? I mean, you've been a Microsoft.
Now, welcome, Joseph. Yeah. Anyway, first things first.
Absolutely.
So.
I guess my American rudeness came out there. Sorry, Grant.
Should remember we got a guest on here, Joseph, and we've already discussed he could have been Sir Joseph Williams.
Great name.
But I think back to your point, it looks like you spent quite a bit of time at Microsoft, Joseph. So why don't you give us a bit about your background for our listeners?
So I was at Microsoft for about 10 years. Before that, just so you know, I was at Sun Microsystems. So I started off as a hardware dude and then switched over to software. But as I moved through the ranks in Microsoft, I ended up Microsoft used to have a product called Link. And I was part of the Link engineering team that worked with all the telecoms around the world to get Link telco ready. And then I was responsible for shipping the Link hoster pack. And then after we shipped it, I flipped over and ran the channel that I actually had to implement and sell the hoster pack. So, and then I left Microsoft just about the time they acquired Skype. My leaving wasn't related to that. And so their evolution of Teams is something I've had to learn about as an analyst, not as an insider.
Yeah, and Teams is interesting. I want to get into that a little bit later because I've been reading a lot about that. But I wanted to start off by saying, 2017 has been an incredible year for transformation, for mergers and acquisitions. I mean, the whole industry that has been changing so rapidly. What to you, Joseph, has stood out as some of the highlights of 2017?
It's been a fascinating year. For one, we've seen a lot of consolidation happening in what we would call traditional voice. So BroadSoft is no longer, and Avaya has been restructured. And you just go down the list of interesting things that have happened, but that's all happened on what I would call the declining side of the ledger. So TDMs and PBXs their ilk are in decline. I mean, you can just count the number of business landlines, and it's down across the world. On the upside of the ledger has been all kinds of new entrants into the communication market, not the least of which is Slack. But what's happened is companies like Cisco and Microsoft have seen the writing on the wall, and they're trying to pivot as quickly as they can into what I would call the upside of the ledger, while maintaining whatever foothold they have on the declining side of the ledger. That's been interesting.
So do you think more of the same as we're rapidly approaching another year? I mean,
we're already in 2018, Graham. Yeah. This is 2018.
Yeah, I'm in a time warp.
You're in a time warp here, please.
So yeah, I mean, it is almost definitely a monthly occurrence when you see some kind of big name and an acquisition or something going on in that marketplace, and a number of these series that we've had. We've talked to people, the gentleman we talked to, David, about 5G. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the chip manufacturers and that side of the business as well, which is coming together. So it's just fascinating the way this is all starting to push forward. So interested in what you think and see crystal ball in the future.
Well, I think one of the most fascinating things around the concept of unified communications is we all mistakenly thought somehow there'd be a service provider or an app or something that would end up unifying communications. And it turns out we were all wrong. The thing that unified communications was the mobile device. Mm-hmm. So the mobile phone, I have 11 different chat apps on my phone and about 6 voice apps on my phone. And I unify all of my communications based on whatever app somebody in China wants to use or someone in Israel wants to use. And it's my phone that does it. It's not looking to Microsoft or Cisco or Avaya to provide that integration anymore. And I think that shift is going to get more profound. I think we're just going to have to deal with the fact that there is no one ring that unites them all, and it's a multi-app world that we're living in, at least for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I chat with some people on text and others on Gmail and others on Facebook and others on Twitter. I mean, it's like and sometimes I'm talking to the same person on different applications.
Are there any things you haven't got into yet, David? You know, from a kind of social point of view.
I just started really on the Slack side. I've been using it. I have one company we're working with here at Star to Star that is using Slack as a main means of communication. Some of my volunteer stuff I do, they use Slack for main means of communication. So I'm starting to see it more and more. And that's sort of where I wanted to ask you about Teams, because Teams is an interesting concept. Microsoft is rolling this out, and you know, I've read the pros and the cons of it, and I wanted to get sort of your take as a Microsoft guy who's been there, done that, with Skype, with Link. You know, what is your take on Teams? Where do you see that? Do you see Microsoft making a big push on that in 2018?
Well, I also live in Seattle, so only am I an analyst, but I hang out with Microsoft folks. And
so you're saying you party with Bill Gates? Is that what you're saying? You go to his house. You're going to a lot of parties.
I'm saying that if I got on a boat and I went into Lake Washington, I could see his house and I could see people partying there. But I've never had the invite myself.
It must be less than a mile.
Yeah, but if you look at where the engineers are going, they want to move off of Skype into Teams.
Yeah,
and so what I think that tells you is it's all about managing your own career at Microsoft. The engineers are really sharp about what's hot and what's not, and the money's moving into Teams, and so that's where the talent's moving into. So I think, to answer your question, that's where the emphasis is going to be.
Yeah. And what about a couple other things that 2018, I'm interested to see what happens, is specifically around blockchain. I mean, you're hearing a ton about that right now. I don't know if it's moved into the UCaaS space yet, maybe a little bit, but you know what? Where do you see that going? I mean, it'd be helpful if you could give like a 2-minute overview. Like, what do you consider blockchain? You know, tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, boom.
Well, so blockchain is basically a ledger technology. So it's a way to record or memorialize transactions or events or basically anything that you could write to a database. But it's a public database, and it's highly encrypted. And so what blockchain is going to be used for is things like medical records. Mm-hmm. It's going to be used for your transcripts in college can be made available to blockchain. Blockchain could change the way, probably for what you're talking about, the biggest impact on UCaaS could be blockchain changes the way we do identity. And so right now we're doing identity management through 1 or 2-factor authentication. We're not memorializing on my behalf as a user, the fact that I've actually used that service. And blockchain can give me a lot more control over who I am and how I manage the way my data is gone. And, you know, thankfully none of us are in a profession where we get subpoenaed by the FBI and have to tell, you know, recite what we did. We did relatively long. But blockchain could do that. Blockchain could be a way in which we memorialize our day and keep a record of what we're doing. And for communication purposes, that could be really interesting.
So do you see sort of like a rise of blockchain-specific applications or companies?
Yeah, specific verticals or something like that.
I mean, do you see that as a big push in 2018? I mean, I think it would be.
It is a big push. I was just speaking at the Blockchain Expo 2 weeks ago, and I was speaking to a bunch of politicians yesterday about blockchain in the public sector. And what we're going to see is blockchain's already hitting financial institutions. It's a big investment area for, when I make a foreign currency transaction with somebody from England, the way in which the transaction is actually recorded is rather odious and painful and expensive. Blockchain will make that a lot easier. The way in which if I'm traveling and I need medical records transferred via blockchain, that's going to be a lot easier and a lot less expensive. Blockchain is also going to maybe allow us to do online voting. I know they don't do that in Florida. They don't also do it here in Washington, but we're looking at it. So, if we have service people abroad, men and women who need to vote, blockchain could be a way to do that. The other thing that blockchain is going to end up doing that's going to help corporations quite a bit is it can prove supply chain. So I can use blockchain to prove that the electricity that I'm consuming is actually renewable. I can use it to prove animal safety for
testing
industry.
Or
for whatever. Yeah, exactly. So all kinds of interesting issues or applications. And the best part of blockchain is nobody dominates it yet. IBM's trying really hard with Hyperledger, but they're not there yet. And so this is entrepreneurial wild, wild west. And we're seeing all kinds of fascinating things come into the market.
Oh, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, it's tough
for an older guy to kind of keep abreast of all that technology.
You'll be blockchaining before you know.
As we were talking earlier on, I mean, we were saying, and I think you mentioned about your family, Joseph, not even experiencing a landline. I mean, wow, it's just incredible. I mean, having grown up through all of that stuff all those years ago. It's just fascinating, really is. So,
but you're on
so
the cutting fast. Edge, Graham. Don't worry.
You know what? I think that between those two things, either side of your head, which are ears, I think, and you call them ears, right? that grey matter is really akin to a piece of memory, like a chipset.
Yeah.
And it only has a finite amount of storage in there. And I think the older you get and you take on, especially in the technology space, you take on some new technology, you lose something. But I can remember things way back when, and I'll surprise you with something later on.
No,
I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to do this later on.
Like a teaser.
A little teaser, but. It's just great. You can only retain that some of that stuff for so long. So, Joseph, I have a question for you about being an analyst. I mean, a couple of things. What drove you to get out of your day job, shall we say, and then drive you toward being more an industry analyst, which I think is a fascinating thing to be involved in. I got many friends that I, in the analyst community, many people that you know, both here and in Europe, and also your association with UC Strategies. We know those guys pretty well. In fact, Blair was the first guest on our podcast when we first launched this series. So I'm just interested about your move to that space.
It's a great question. I actually am driven more or motivated more by workplace transformation. So. When I was at Microsoft, I had a lot of international customers who were struggling with the fact that even though they were a Fortune 500 type of company, they were no longer hot or sexy or very interesting to new college graduates or new ways of thinking. And as you think about the way you're going to transform a workplace, communications always ends up being part of that. And early days, we thought it literally was going to be a UC product like Link or Skype that would interact with collaboration tools and end up providing a more mobile experience or support hoteling or different work styles anyway. And So that's what motivated me to end up on the analyst side, because I wanted to help people think about workplace transformation and how communications was going to enable that. And it turns out it's actually a regional problem. Everybody addresses it differently in different countries. There are some countries where you have to show up at work every single day. It's just required. It's part of the culture. And, you know, remote work just doesn't exist in that culture. And there are other places, I actually know several firms in Boulder, Colorado, that are completely virtual. They have over 100 employees and there's no office. There's no place. There's no nexus. It's all handled virtually. And the technology is what makes it happen. So that's what attracted me. I grew into caring about the channel, because there's nothing like managing the channel. And you begin to realize,
very near and dear to our heart.
These are great people. They're very entrepreneurial. They're just looking for, you know, good products that they can sell and make their customers happy. And they don't get treated very well. So I ended up being a big advocate for the channel. With some of these behemoths.
Yeah, and we feel the same way. I mean, I don't know if we only sell through the channel. We're 100% channel.
I mean, without a channel, we don't have a business. You know,
we
go to extreme lengths to kind of nurture and feed and water our channel. I mean, it's very much like a family that you bring in and you kind of grow them up, and then they graduate and they go off and do their thing and what have you. So, you know, I got some of the early partners that we work with over the years that I know now through social media and other things, and keep in touch with each other. And you know, way back when we first started the business in 2006. So the other interesting thing, Joseph, from your standpoint, you know, being in that analyst world, is that I very much see that as a community. I watch you guys whenever you go to different events. And a number of them that we stay in touch with on a regular basis, I'm in contact with, obviously, through social media. But it's like a gang. I mean, it's great to watch, and it's great to see the comments and the feedback. So
do you do a lot of speaking at events and conferences, Joseph?
I do. It depends. In my day job, I'm a technology policy advisor for the governor of the state of Washington, and representing the state, I speak at 4 to 5 events a month, and in my night job for UC Strategies, I'm at maybe 2 events a quarter, and then of course I do the UC Summit event when that pops up in the fall every year.
Cool.
We'll have to look out for you next time. We tend to go to a lot of these types of industry events as well, so it'd be cool to run into you at one of these things.
Yeah, I'm the only guy from UC Strategies who avoids the big event down at the Gaylord every
mentioning no names. So I always look at that. I mean, I because it's relatively near here.
I tend to shoot
up there, but I use that much more as a means to catch up with people I haven't seen in a long time. So you know, not really so much from a technology standpoint. And you pay horrendous sums of money to be there. Funny enough. You know, this company's been around for 11 years now, Joseph. And back in 2007, this fledgling little company called Star2Star was there. And we had a booth right opposite this massive, great Cisco monolithic two-story booth. And they moved all their shipping cases. We're sitting across our tiny little space, and there we were. We should never have been there. We were really out of our league at that stage, and I can remember it really, really well. And at the time, I bumped into Sheila McGee Smith, and she wrote a very nice comment on No Jitter, and somebody else did, about this fledgling startup company, new kids on the block. So yeah, I've got good memories of that. But we've been there. But we've been there walkabouts, we've been meetings, but we've not had a booth there or whatever. We tend to stick more to the channel focused shows. You know, David will
channel
be part channel partners in Vegas and
ASCII
and what have you.
Events,
yeah, but
Robin
really
Robbins.
Focus around the channel primarily.
Well, and the thing about the channel is you can't be a large vendor or even a mid-sized vendor and have a relationship with the customer. It's not cost effective. You've
right.
got to have a channel partner who's willing to take that relationship and strive for success. And one of the things at the Gaylord event that I always found disconcerting was the lack of focus on either the channel or the enterprise. It was always an event that focused on the vendor and mm-hmm. what they were about to announce and that sort of thing. And sure, that's interesting, but that's not the same as saying, what is it that we're actually helping these companies do, these small companies, the mid-sized companies, where they don't have a big IT department and they're actually looking for ways to do their business better. And that's what the channel partners help them do.
I'm interested, you know, as an advocate for the channel, you know, what is it do you think that channel partners in 2018 are looking for? You know, what is it? Because, you know, one of the things that, as you know, we only sell through the channel, we're always working to do is get more of their mind share, right? So that, you know, they can focus on hopefully selling our product and learning more about Star to Star.
Yeah, what motivates
them? So what do you think are the things that might motivate a channel partner in the next year? What, you know, what are some of the things that you see or you hear, or just, you know, what is your take on that?
Well, I think the channel's always looking for the same thing. They're always looking for a predictable economic proposition, and they're looking for reliable products, right? And depending on which side of the channel you're talking about, they're also looking for incentives and help. And so that's what they always look for. And I think what's happened as we've seen these large vendors consolidate, and almost the first thing that happens is the channel kind of gets left behind for a while as they figure out how they're going to merge and absorb and reorient. And so that creates a lot of unpredictability for the channel. And, you know, they end up feeling a bit abandoned at that point. So I think 2018 is going to be the year in which the channel reacts to all of these mergers and says, all right, what are you doing for us now? I mean, what does life look like for us now? And more importantly, for our customers. And we're going to see a lot of announcements, I think, coming pretty soon around that.
So, yeah, we couldn't agree more with you there. I mean, anytime we see those mergers, we always get a new crop of channel partners.
There's a ripple effect, yeah. Isn't it? It's like somebody throws a rock in a pond, and all of a sudden you see all these.
It's chaos, and the chaos creates an opportunity for us. And
channel partners.
As they say on Game of Thrones, right? Chaos is a ladder, right? There's a little Game of Thrones
exactly.
For you, if anybody watches Game of Thrones. I don't know. We're not in Game of Thrones season, so maybe it's a bad reference.
Yeah, me though. So, Joseph, you know, a couple of things on any of these podcast series that we do. We, you know, one of the things that we give you for participating in this, and there's also another criteria as well. We give you a priceless Egyptian cotton T-shirt for Heads in the Cloud. It's something that everybody's after. it's something that's a very
in fact, you know,
personalized...
we'll send you two so you can give one to Bill. So you can give one. Just send.
It's a real collectible as well.
It is a collectible. It's a collectible. But what we ask of you is to send us a photograph back of you wearing this in your workplace or something like that as a bit of fun, and we'll put this out because we broadcast on all different
all
types
place,
of
social.
Media, Play Store, you know, iTunes, yeah. And what have you. So bit of fun. But
and we also like to know. We also ask every guest, do you have any pets?
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
We got to know. Do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? Do you have a gerbil?
I actually have no pets.
Whoa. So
guy after my own heart here.
David, yeah.
I'm a no-pet guy.
You're lost. Yeah, we won't go into it, but David did have a pet as a child, but I've told this story so many times on so many of his podcasts.
He
never
story,
basically man. Joseph, he never looked after it. So if he was your child, you'd be very disappointed.
But I like
so.
That Joseph has no animals because it's just too much work.
It can be, yeah. It's a responsibility, you know.
Yeah. I heard you have children.
It's not just
that's
for
enough.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Remember that. It's not just for Christmas.
I have children. Yeah, that's enough work. Right?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Awesome.
I live in a city that's incredibly dog friendly, so if I actually wanted to see a dog, I can go down the elevator into the courtyard. And there's probably four of them down there.
Yeah, it's probably like rent a dog or something like that. You could borrow somebody's dog for
the
for
best
a
dog is not is somebody else's dog. You don't have to take. You just say hi to it, you pet it, and then you move on.
Well, I could tell you that's also true of sailboats. That's someone else's.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yes, as they say, listen, we have a you know, we're over here on the East Coast, but on the
Break
West Coast
out
of
another
Florida.
Thousand, yeah.
And you know, we're in the boating area, and it's everyone says the best day for your boat is your first day and your last day.
Well, they say break out another thousand.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
We really appreciate you spending some time with us, Joseph.
Yeah, so. Thanks so much for joining us today, Joseph. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And hopefully we can connect again in 2018. Maybe we'll do a recap.
Real time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe see you real time at a show. So, but not the one in Orlando.
No, not that one. We won't be going
not that one. We won't go there. All right. Thanks, Joseph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
That was a really good conversation with Joseph Williams. I mean, what a fascinating guy.
Yeah, I've got to stop you right there, David. So I didn't like to say anything on the call and what have you to make myself out to look a bit ignorant and what have you. Explain to me what Slack is all about. I mean, I know our developers use it, and we're communicating with a lot of the offshore teams that we're working with and what have you.
I haven't delved into it,
but I got a rough idea, but I was going to ask if I could be included, because I feel
I felt a little left out.
So, maybe for our listeners, you could go in and see.
Slack is an application you can use on your phone. You could download a desktop application. You could use it in a browser. But it's basically a collaboration application where you can communicate with individuals. You can communicate from company to company. You can set up different channels. You've got bots in there. I mean, it's actually a pretty cool application that allows you to communicate very smoothly with anybody anywhere. And if you haven't used it, I would recommend you.
I'm gonna ask the guys.
I use it for a couple different applications. But what I'm really interested in is you dropped this teaser when we were talking to Joseph, and I want to know what this I feel like the our producers Les and Fred know what's about to come, and I have no idea, and I'm feeling very apprehensive.
How do you think I felt? You know, talking about Slack, you're trying to.
I think I'm in for something here.
So I'm going to take you back to 1967, all right?
1967.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of technology here.
For those of you who can't see, Graham is whipping this out of a Bose. Oh! So, explain to the listeners what is this?
So, I got into a conversation recently with one of our folks here, and we were talking about musical instruments, and for the folks that do know me, they know I have a big interest in music. I'm a musician and what have you, for what it's worth. And he mentioned about somebody new and worked with Rick Wakeman, the keyboard player. And long story short, Rick Wakeman went out to try and get an instrument to play and play on this guy's show. And only thing you could find in this store was a thing called a stylophone. Well, a stylophone
which
was
is what I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah,
right
it was
now.
Something that I grew up with as a kid. It was actually invented in 1967. It's like a mini synthesizer keyboard with a little pen that you touch.
I like that it's actually they have referred to as a stylus.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
was like,
pretty
I thought
cool.
that was like a modern
so
term. But
in
no,
this conversation, we were talking together, and you imagine you can plug this thing into a big soundboard and make this come out on amplifiers and that. Yeah, see, you got the gist of it, and so. Yeah, I went online and I looked for it, and all of a sudden I go to Amazon and I find that they're making these in a retro fashion. You can reorder them. So lo and behold, I ordered one.
This is not an original. This is a remake.
You'd be talking hundreds of dollars, but this is a $20 special.
Oh man,
and I encourage our audience to look it up. It's stylophone, and that's spelled David.
STYLO phone.
Stylophone.
Stylophone.
Yeah, it was part when I was a youngster. Isn't that cool?
I think
I wouldn't quit your day job anytime soon if I was you. Anyway, what is the purpose of this device? That was a teaser. It's to amuse yourself and play music and whatever. You know, I'm gonna whip that out at Christmas time around the Christmas table and play some Christmas carols on it. So there you go.
I mean, why don't you just buy a piano? I mean, I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get this thing.
All right, you wheel a piano around.
How much is an original stylophone?
£250 or dollars?
Dollars. Includes the case.
So our esteemed producer, Les, who is a historical
historical
figure, has told us that the Stylophone original in the case is $250.
Yes,
so probably should have splurged.
Hey, this is interesting. Heads in the Cloud T-shirt size XL, $1,000.
I knew that was going to happen.
Stylophone $250, Heads in the Cloud shirt $1,000.
Yeah, but they've been autographed, Dave. You know, they are fine Egyptian cotton, so what do you expect? So anyway, we're digressing here.
Yeah, no, this is very cool. This is a very cool device. I like that you brought it specifically for our listeners, and a lucky listener will win one. No, I'm just joking.
You can do that. No reason why not. So how about that?
Yeah, we'll have Fred pay for that.
Okay. So yeah, that was a
great. No, that's cool. I mean, listen, I think that retro is in.
It is in.
So. I think you should leave that on your desk and play music when people walk in.
I will. I can do that. Don't think I won't. So, you know. So
what about the fact that Joseph didn't have any pets?
No, I know. That's got to be a first. That's got to be a first.
That was lit, dude. He didn't have any pets.
It's got to be a first. Hey.
Our first guy with no pets. I'm on
Petless.
Board with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. My kind of guy.
But a really interesting guy. Yeah. You know, a lot of interest, you know, interesting things in technology. Microsoft Teams, another one. And that was
Teams. I mean, we're going to hear a lot about Teams in 2018. Yeah. They're trying to push that out, replace Skype and as fast as humanly possible. So I think, you know, they are looking for Teams replacements as quickly as they can. But, you know, listen, I think, you know, we're going to see a lot. We're going to hear a lot about blockchain. We're going to hear a lot about new applications, Internet of Things. It's going to be a fun year. It's going to be, I think there's going to be more mergers, more acquisitions, more things here and there.
More disruption out there. I would think more disoriented channel folks in as well. I mean,
it's going to be.
Happens, so.
Yeah, I mean, these companies, as they continue to envelop each other, it's going to just cause more little ripple effects, and how that's going to shake down is going to be fascinating to watch. So we'll have to keep track of that as we have to have like a little merger. We need like a merger chart so we can like keep track of all this kind of stuff as we move forward. Maybe you can for our next podcast you could bring that on as opposed to a stylophone. Put together a chart.
So I had a celebration, David, recently.
What is your celebration?
So 11 years when we started this
11
company.
Years? Yeah, you've been
11,
here now?
Been 11. 11.
Wow.
11. We started it in
2006?
2006.
Now we're on to our 12th year. So you weren't here for the first year?
Well, the first year was really pulling stuff together from a development point of view. But the time we went into market was 06. That's when we put our toe in the water with our first dealers, as they were, our first channel folks. But amazing. Incredible. I thought I'd throw that in there.
I thought you were going to retire anytime soon or what? What's the deal?
Don't push your luck.
If you retire, do you think you'll still do the podcast with me? You come in here Tommy Bahama shirt.
Yeah, we're going to negotiate for that, though. I mean, obviously, there's some kind of
fee. Well, you get paid a handsome fee.
There's some kind of royalty thing.
You'll probably have to pay me for that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, just to work alongside me. And I was like, I don't get my lunch paid for or something.
There's
no food.
We're recording this. It's the middle of lunchtime.
I know, there's nothing.
A crudité would have been appreciated.
I'm almost passing out. So.
I know.
Anyway,
very parched.
Let's not bore our listeners with this. So,
Series. Well, this has been a great episode. Really fascinating conversation, and we'll look forward to talking to you again very soon. And for Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz,
and I'm Graham Potter.
See you next time.
See you. Bye.